Today's podcast was made possible by Rectron RCD Cloud, bringing the power of cloud computing to the SMME market. For more information, contact your closest reseller or go to www.rectron.co.za/signup. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today in studio is Nick Cowan.
Hello.
And Lungelo Shezi.
I believe it's my first time on our new premises, so hello.
Well, it's not the first time you've been on the premises. It's the first podcast you've done.
Podcast that I've recorded on our new premises,
yes.
Which is sort of like, hello. My first time.
You know, I don't know.
So you talk so quietly, I had to like quickly...
Sorry, am I not loud?
It's fine.
The sound dynamics are so different here that it sounds like, you know, everything's so quiet and...
And no one's fired up a lawnmower outside. No, if they have, we can't hear
it. No trucks driving by just behind us here. No.
It's glorious here.
Yeah.
So I gather this week...
Last week,
but I mean this week, we're talking about what happened last week, where everybody was frantically reporting on what do we call it? A leak?
It is a leak.
It's a leak, but it's not really a leak.
The public would call it a hack, which is the wrong terminology, but I mean, I've seen hack in a whole lot of...
Okay, so the way I describe it is thus, and I interviewed the Australian security expert, Troy Hunt, who first brought this leak to public attention. He obviously wasn't the person who found it because he runs a site called haveibeenpwned.com, which essentially you enter your email into the site and it tells you whether or not your email has been compromised.
Sorry, incidentally, I had an old email address that I put into that site, and it was literally just like every service that I used that was linked to that email address I had been pwned on.
Yeah, I mean, I entered my email address and it was like, oh, you got breached on MySpace.
Yeah.
I was like, I haven't used MySpace since 2008. So. Anyway, so he runs a site called haveibeenpwned.com, and it's about, and it's a site that you can use to check out whether or not your email address has been compromised. And so he gets sent tons of data all the time. And back in 2015, was it 2015? No. He was basically sent a large parcel of data, which he only got around. It was back in earlier this year in March.
Yeah,
and he only got around to checking it this month because he looked at it, didn't make much sense to him, and he was like, "I've got other things to do." So it went on the to-do pile.
It's like one of those files that you kind of get, and you're like, "I'll look at that later." And 3 months down the line, you're looking, and you're like, "Oh, I should have probably looked at this a lot earlier." But anyway,
So he looked at it and he was basically cleaning out his hard drive. He needed space. And he started with the biggest file, which was this one. And he started looking and seeing that there were a lot of ID numbers, a lot of physical addresses.
Obviously, he didn't know these were ID numbers, though, being an Australian.
Well, no, but he saw South African addresses.
Okay.
So he went on Twitter and said, "My South African friends, can you help me with this?" And they jumped
what
in.
Is this?
And it kind of went viral from there. But my original point was this. It's not a breach. It's not a hack. It's a leak. And the way I would describe it is basically like, if I break into your house and steal your laptop, that's a breach.
Yeah.
If you take your laptop out and stick it in a box in the street and say, "Here's a nice laptop," and go back into your house, that's not really a breach or a theft. That's just someone helping themselves to something that's in the
freely public. Available.
And that's what's happened here. Essentially what happened, and we have to be very, very careful here because cease and desist letters have been flying about. From what I understand, the information was placed in a forward-facing public server. So while it wasn't advertised that it was here, it was there.
It was there.
Yeah.
And if,
easily. Well,
and if you wanted to, you could basically help yourself to the data without brute force attacks or any hacking required.
So just to give people an idea of how easy it is to find that sort of thing, it's literally typing in the name of the database or even just the database and looking and putting in the file extension. And it was a MySQL database, I believe.
Yep.
So you just put in .sql and it kind of revealed exactly where it was. I saw a couple of people on the Wednesday morning after the news broke tweeting out a couple of screenshots of Google, just how easy it is to find databases that are in the public domain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, just Google masterdeeds.sql. Yeah. It's not as easy as that, but it doesn't take a lot of technical know-how to find these things.
I read an interesting, sorry to step in, but I think one of the bigger news sites had an interesting headline that sort of painted how big this is, because you sort of think, 30 million South Africans. Oh, it's not me. I don't know why you'd think that, but anyway, a lot of people sort of have that mentality. And they're like, the heading roughly read, Jacob Zuma, Malusi Gigaba, Figile Mbalula among South Africans.
Yeah.
Jacob Zuma, like, citizen number one, first of all. Yeah. So citizen number one, if his deeds are out there, then yeah, you might want to check if you're also not featured there. So it just sort of painted the, you know,
the persons security. Whose house we are not allowed to photograph, his ID
whole
is
details.
Out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
That, for me, sort of
put it nicely for a lot of people out there who aren't us, basically.
Yeah.
They're not exclusive.
Paranoid.
You know, people who sort of, I think South Africans compared to, you know, people in the US are sort of way, way, way more relaxed than, you know, they. I mean, if something like this happens in the US and it's like all of us seen in rolling coverage all damn day, you know, you don't get enough of it. So life is kind of like, your details have been leaked. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, right along. That's something I noticed, like, that shocked me immensely was when the Equifax breach happened.
Yeah.
And all that data. Not a lot in terms of America's population. It was a lot of people, but I mean, that was wall-to-wall news coverage all day, every day for like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think what really disturbed me was that by Friday afternoon, everybody had kind of just given up on the story and was like, oh well, it's out there. It's Friday. Party time. Migos, I don't know how to say it, is here this weekend. Like, everybody just kind of forgot about it. And I was like, you guys realize that it's not just over, right? It's not just, now it's gone because you want to forget about it. Mm. It's still out there, and you should maybe be a little bit more paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I was just shocked.
Well,
by that.
I mean, let me put it this way. Okay, so literally today, I went down the road from our office because I'd forgotten my lunch, and I thought, I'm going to buy a lunch, and I walked past these restaurants, and there was a spa there, and I thought, actually, you know what? I'm going to have a nice lunch. So I went into this restaurant called Dolce Cakes, and no, they're not paying me to promote them, but
hashtag not a sponsor.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
No way.
And I had a really nice lasagna. And this woman wanted to put me on a mailing list. And I was like, no, thank you very much. And she said, what do you do? And I told her what I did. And I told her what we'd been covering last week. And she had no idea that this story had, A, broken.
Yep.
And I was like, here's what you need to do. And she just looked at me and she said, listen, dude, if they want to steal my ID, my identity, and inherit all the debt I have, go for it.
Okay, so here's the thing, because I had one or two friends that kind of said to me, oh, that's not a big deal. So what? They know who I am.
Mm.
And I think what a lot of people, and I spoke to somebody at Essert about this last week, and I think Nick Hall in the interview you did yesterday also kind of touched on it, was that right now, they essentially have a complete picture of you.
Yeah.
Mm. Sure, lady at whatever the restaurant, at the cafe. If you believe that you have no danger, that's good for you. But I mean, when you wake up tomorrow morning and you've got even more debt that is not attributed to you, that becomes a problem. And I think that's what a lot of people miss, is that like, as South Africans, we share a lot of ourselves online on Facebook. I mean, just
can
looking.
Can you even get a gym membership without your ID number? I don't think you can.
No.
You can't.
No, you can't. There's very little that you can do without an ID number.
I mean, if you think of how many times you filled out a form with your ID number on it. And just by the way, before anybody comes in and goes, yeah, your ID number is public anyway. Okay, we know this, but like, that's not the problem. The problem is, Nick Hall pointed out, and we'll link to the story underneath this podcast, is the fact that it's not that your ID number is out there. Your ID number is out there in a little package next to your name, next to your marital status, next to your physical address, next to your estimated income, next to any credit issues you had, next to even what race you are. I mean, that was a freaky thing that Troy pointed out, which he said it was literally like, how black or white are you on the spectrum? You know, it's like, why does a real estate agent need to know any of this? And it's literally, like you said, they've got the complete picture of you. The way the analogy I use is basically, if you remember the first Tim Burton Batman film that had Jack Nicholson in it as the Joker, and then the Joker is like doing this thing where he's tainting products and people use them and they end up dead with a rictus on their face. And Batman basically goes like, the police are looking for one product, but he's tainted hundreds at the source.
Mm. Yeah.
And Vicky Vale goes, well, you know, then we'd all be dead. And he said, no. The products only work when mixed with each other. Like, lipstick alone will not be a problem, but lipstick mixed with perfume and shampoo and conditioner, that'll kill you.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like here. It's, like, it's not your ID number that's the problem. It's the ID number and the physical address and all the other stuff that goes with it.
I mean, I kind of gave one of my friends a really rude awakening on Friday afternoon because we were just chatting about this offhand. And he said, he was like, oh, they have my ID number, so what? So I said to him, well, let's take a look at it like this. So I used his mom as an example because I don't have her as
went
a friend on Facebook.
Well,
no, because I don't have her as a friend on Facebook.
Okay.
And I just went to her profile as somebody who's not a friend and was able to deduce where she stayed, what times she worked from, what her maiden name was, all this information. Whether she was married, and then couple that with your ID number and a whole bunch of other stuff, and I could own that person if I was a black hat hacker, you know, or cyber criminal rather. I could own that person. And that's one of the things that Ed also pointed out, is that you need to be really aware of the spam emails that are coming in now, because the phishing attacks are going to be really targeted towards you.
Yeah.
If you owe debts, there's a good chance that a debt collector in quotation marks sends you an email and says, if you don't pay this by Friday, we're going to sequestrate you, whatever it is.
Sends you an email over a legitimate, you know, that's outstanding, but them just masquerading.
Yeah, I mean, you can spoof an email address. It's so easy. Phishing is one of the easiest ways to catch people because, I mean, we don't always look at email addresses or where mails are coming from.
This not happened to me, but I had to be a bit cautious about this. So I got an email from a supposed, I didn't confirm if they are or not, debt collector, saying they're collecting on behalf of FNB. I mean, the collection, the claim itself is legitimate. They're still not making it up. But so the thing is, when you know, they get debt collectors to do the debt collecting for them, they don't tell you, listen, we've passed.
Yeah, we've handed you over.
Brendan Associates.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and then all of a sudden, Brendan Associates, you know, emails me like, oh, we're working with FNB and we'd like you to pay the $1 million that you owe. And then you're like, oh, sure, here's everyone. And then, you know, so I was like, okay, I ignored the email and I went on Twitter and I went to that RB Jacobs guy and I'm like, listen, I got an email from this, and this is their number, this is their email address, and they're telling me I should correspond to them to make arrangements for them. Are they legit? And it's like, I don't know, you're going to have to call them. I was like, right, we're going to have to call. Before I answer or say anything, and this was not even, because the email address they'll use, like fnbcollections@brendanassociates.co.za, and that's kind of like, okay, no, nothing
dodgy,
you guys. So I mean as citizens, like you're saying now, even if you were never vigilant before,
you have to
start
be
being vigilant now. Or if you were vigilant before, just to make sure you tighten any loose ends that you
use. I think that's the most important thing, is for people to kind of now be a lot more aware. You can't run around now like your information isn't out there. As South Africans, and I think Nick Hall put it really nicely in that interview, that we kind of believe that we have privacy, but we share so much of ourselves online.
I believe he called it a tainted view of our own personal privacy.
Yeah.
And I said, don't you mean an unrealistic view? He said, no, I mean tainted, because we expect privacy, yet we give out so much information on a day-to-day basis. How much have you shoveled onto Facebook? How much have you shoveled onto
location,
LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever? Like, you know, I mean, you look at Hive. Hive is an app that I used to use as a motivational thing in the gym.
Yeah.
Right? And then someone said, oh, Hive, the stalker's best friend. You know, because it's basically where you've been.
Yeah.
And and the thing is that Nick Hall said, because this has been coming up a lot, there's people going, oh, well, this wouldn't happen if Poppy had been signed into law. And it's like, no, it would. It would happen.
Yeah, something like there would just be repercussions.
And Nick Hall did say, he said, Poppy is not protection against stupidity. Okay, it's not. Okay, you've got to take some personal responsibility of the data you're putting out there and realize what you put out there could be problematic, you know.
And I mean, like, even if you do go out there and you and Poppy is in effect, right, this information gets out, sure, the company has to pay a fine, but now your information is out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That having been said, I mean, it's the companies involved, and once again, naming no names. I mean, we can name Jigsaw Holdings
because they
basically held their hands up and owned up to it.
Yeah.
But if Poppy had been signed into law, that... You know, Jigsaw Real Estate Holdings would be staring down the mother of all lawsuits.
And fines
and the whole nine yards.
I mean, I think somebody, I speak under massive correction, but I think it's like 10 grand per instance or something like that.
No, I don't know the monetary value. What I do know is that under Poppy, if you receive data of this nature, okay, first of all, you have to make sure of the identity of the people you got it from.
Yeah.
Secondly, you have to let the parties know how it was acquired and, you know, that you've got it, if the data is going to be used to affect them. And thirdly, you have to make sure that wherever you're storing it is secure, because any breach, any leak, you're liable.
Yeah.
But like Nick said, that's great. It's all good. But, you know, it's not a protection against you shoveling all of your own data onto Facebook or LinkedIn and places like that.
Okay, we need to wrap up now.
Well,
we're at 16 minutes.
Cool. On that rather Orwellian note, you know, I thought that the most scary thing I'd do last week was play The Evil Within 2.
I thought the scariest thing I was going to do was take off in a plane. And then I landed in Cape Town and
like, boom,
hell had arisen.
Yeah, you landed in Cape Town. It's like, ah, nice, relaxing. What?
Like literally, I opened Twitter. I went out of Cape Town International and I went to sit outside and had a cigarette. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's happened since I was on. What? What? Are you kidding me? Yeah, not very fun. So now we have an interview with Elaine Wang from Rectron. We're going to be chatting about cloud computing and small businesses getting into cloud computing. It's a massive shift from all your data is out in the open to trust the cloud. But there are reasons to trust the cloud, and Elaine Wang will explain them. So take a listen to that. And I think from us, though, that's it for this week. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thank you very much.
And from you, Lungelo.
Goodbye until next time.
Yeah, we'll see you again. I've been Brendan Lutz. Cheerio. The future is the cloud, and with Rectron's RCT cloud offering, it's available to you today no matter the size of your business. For more information, contact your closest reseller or go to www.rectron.co.za/signup. Hello everybody, my name is Brendan Lutz, and joining me on the line today is a rather interesting individual. We are speaking to Elaine Wang from Rectron, who's going to be talking to us about cloud and your small business, a subject that I'm not very well versed on, so hopefully Elaine can shed a bit of clarity on the cloud. Good afternoon, Elaine, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you, Brendan?
I'm always well. Thank you so much for joining us, Elaine. It's really lovely to have you here on the HTXT AfriCast. So let's dive straight into it. What is cloud and what is Rectron offering your customers or your resellers?
Sure. I think cloud is quite a broad topic. I mean, essentially what cloud is essentially having content that doesn't sit on your own infrastructure, but sits on somebody else's. So in terms of like consumer offerings on cloud, I mean, we all know Gmail, we know Dropbox and Facebook. These are all examples of cloud offerings. In terms of Rectron, we've been selling Office 365 for I think the last 4 or 5 years now, and it's really a business that we're starting to see accelerating. When I chat to my customers, I always say that when we started the Office 365 business, I would go out and see a customer and they'd say, no, sorry, cloud is not for me, cloud is not for South Africans. But now more and more, we're actually starting to see customers come to us and say, actually, how do I get on board? What is it that I need to offer my customers? Because I think it brings real tangible business benefits.
If you could maybe just touch on some of those benefits. I mean, you talk about Office 365, and to my mind, you're getting the latest software with all the latest updates. You don't need to worry about security and having to upgrade legacy software. So what sort of benefits does using cloud services have for a business, particularly a small business in this context?
I actually think that cloud brings the most value to small businesses. So if you think about it, back in the day, if you wanted to set up a business, you had to invest in some really expensive equipment, right? So your server hardware. So going into cloud, essentially what you're doing is you're replacing the server hardware with the software subscription. So that you don't have to then, you know, spend money on the hardware, you don't have to spend money on the software, you don't have to spend money on maintaining that hardware. And, you know, in every few years, you don't have to spend money upgrading that hardware. So cloud actually then gives small business access to the technology that often enterprises have, but on a monthly or an annual subscription term. So it becomes very, very cost effective to access really, really good tools from the different cloud vendors.
So what sort of cloud vendors are you talking about here, specifically in a South African context? Are South Africans, you mentioned Office 365 is been growing in popularity over the last couple of years. What other sorts of cloud services are South Africans starting to get into, to use a bit of a colloquial turn of phrase there?
Okay, so I mean, look, we're all in on Microsoft. And recently we've started to expand our stack. So as an example, we are now also offering a Acronis cloud backup to our customers. But there's a variety of cloud services in market. I mean, you know, we've seen things like AWS. I mean, they started in Cape Town as an example. Google is obviously very big amongst consumers. And what you see is when something's working for a consumer, consumers tend to take that into a small business type of environment. From our side, you know, we are, as I said, all in on Microsoft. I think that this is, I mean, they're one of the three major cloud vendors, and a good vendor to be backed up by.
Okay, so we know that Microsoft is bringing local Azure services to South Africa. I believe is it early this year, or early next year, or is it this year?
That's the much awaited announcement of the data centers. So the data centers were announced. I don't have a 100% clear timeline on them as yet. They were announced earlier this year, but I think they'll only actually happen from next year.
Okay, so what sort of benefits does having a local Azure server or data center, have for South Africans? Does it mean that your data is a little bit safer? What sort of benefits does that have?
There were a lot of South African businesses that were really worried about storing their data outside the borders of South Africa. There's a piece of legislation called POPI, so that's the Protection of Personal Information Act. And under POPI, one of the conditions it says that you can't store your data outside the borders of South Africa unless the laws governing that data center are equal to or better than that of South Africa.
Yeah.
And what was happening is that a lot of people kind of read the first part of this of that sentence and missed and didn't read anything past the unless part.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of fear, you know, around putting the data outside of South Africa. So I think bringing that local data center in will actually help to change the conversation. There's also, in terms of like latency, there was also worries that, you know, if a data center is outside of South Africa, it might be a bit slower. So I think having a local data center will help to address some of these concerns.
That's fantastic. And I just also want to go back to the cost effectiveness of cloud. Are you seeing more South Africans South African businesses opting for these cloud solutions because the economy is in tatters and they simply can't afford to keep on-site backups anymore, or even get backups from a local firm, for instance? Are you seeing an uptake being driven by economy, or is it more an ease of use factor that South African businesses are moving to the cloud for?
I think it's absolutely a bit of both, and coupled with that, the decreasing cost of internet. I know that's always a contentious issue amongst the us as South Africans. But with the decreasing cost, you know, you're going to be able to make cloud a lot more affordable for the average South African SME. So in terms of cost, of course, you know, because you can pay for it on a monthly basis, it is really good on a company's cash flow. And then, you know, now in really tough economic times, sometimes you do have to upgrade. And you just don't have that money available to be able to do the capital outlay to upgrade your systems. Now, this kind of leads to me to another point. I mean, I think ransomware is something that's something everyone's talking about at the moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, you know, small businesses typically didn't put in the right security measures in place, didn't have the right backup measures in place, and they're actually being hit the hardest, right? Because they don't have the proper IT infrastructure. So actually getting into cloud and making sure that you have the right backup and you are using the right systems helps to combat a bit of the threat on ransomware.
Fantastic. I do just want to ask you something. A couple of months ago, there have been a number of stories where people were using Amazon Web Services and they hadn't configured their specific server correctly, and the data became public facing. We've seen a few reports of that. How can South Africans kind of avoid that sort of thing? Can they come to Rectron or one of your resellers, one of your partners, and say, "Can you help me configure this so that I don't accidentally make my data public facing?"
Yeah, so look, firstly, as a small business, you need to work with a reputable IT reseller, and, you know, especially one with a proven track record in the cloud, because those are the guys that are going to know what they're doing. If you need to get a hold of Rectron, we can also help, but generally we will work alongside your preferred IT reseller to help you to implement the right solution.
Fantastic. And in terms of security, how much more secure is it to kind of go with cloud compared to another sort of solution? I know this earlier last week we had a massive data breach of millions of South Africans' data, and I think this might give some of the African businesses pause before they put their stuff online. Is the cloud secure? Is the cloud secure is kind of what I want to know.
So I'm going to talk about the Microsoft cloud specifically.
Yeah.
You know, the data centers themselves are absolutely secure. So for anyone who is worried around security, they're more than welcome to go onto the Microsoft website and look around their security white paper and actually detail the security measures that are put in place. I think what often happens is that security also needs to happen, you know, at a local level, right? So are you, as an example, you know, logging out of your PC when you leave the room? You know, from a mobile perspective, have you locked your phone? Security, I think, to a large extent, also resides within the user. You need to make sure that you are putting in, like, the right internet security or antivirus package in place to make sure that you are protecting the local devices. I think it's quite a complicated topic. So my advice for any SME listening to this would be to work with the IT reseller, make sure that you are putting a reputable security solution in place. And then on top of that, always have your backups. I can't reiterate that enough because there's a lot of South Africans that don't do backups. And, you know, when you lose your data, that's the time that you find out, actually, my backup didn't work or I didn't have a backup, and there's no going back from that. And there's a lot of businesses that end up going under as a result of data loss.
My gosh, that's really hectic. I didn't realize that it was that bad.
Oh, sorry for the doom and gloom.
No. It's good to know these things, because I think part of information security is being aware of these sorts of threats that are out there for your business. Just for instance, when we had WannaCry, one of the big factors there, I think, was that people hadn't committed to doing proper security measures. And maybe they had backups, yes, but their security practices weren't all that good. And I think it's important, like you say, for the user to kind of take some responsibility and know what sort of threats they are facing. There's a sort of thought in the information security sector that it's if you don't think you're going to be hacked, you are seriously undervaluing yourself. Do you think that could be said for small businesses here in South Africa that thinks, oh, it won't happen to me?
Oh, no, absolutely. Shucks, I mean, the number of South African businesses that are being hacked is actually staggering. You know, we deal with customers, well, with our resellers that tell us these horror stories on a day-to-day basis. I think in this digital age, we can't say it won't happen to me because, you know, I think everyone is a target, to be quite honest. You mentioned the data leaks from earlier this week, and I think that is a really good example. I mean, this is South African data.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, I logged on and I found my email address had been compromised.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
You know, that was worrying. So, yeah. And I think it's a reality that everybody faces.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it speaks to what you mentioned earlier about the cloud being more secure, is that you're kind of entrusting somebody else who's a lot more capable than you might be to secure your data. And as many people I've heard have said, is that, and yourself, you often as a small business don't have access to these next generation firewalls and these really great security solutions at an enterprise level. And I think that's kind of where there's a value in the cloud for small businesses. It's kind of like, okay, you can't afford to have a next generation firewall on site. You can't afford to have continuous time backups, but cloud seems to be that sort of perfect scenario, as it were, perfect in quotation marks, because as we know, cyber criminals, if they want to get in, they will eventually get in, but these companies make it harder for that to happen. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So, Elaine, where is the cloud going? Are we eventually going to get to a point where everything is on the cloud? Or are we already at that point and South Africans are just a little bit slow to the punch and we're getting there? What is the future of cloud computing?
Look, I think it's something that's going to accelerate. As South Africans, you know, we're already putting a lot of stuff in the cloud. I mean, you know, it always fascinates me when I go to a customer and say, no, I don't trust the cloud. And then I ask, well, do you have a Facebook account? Well, yes, I do have a Facebook account. So guess what? You're already in the cloud. So I think that more and more South Africans will get into the cloud just because of the business value that it delivers, right?
Yeah.
When I have conversations with my customers, we talk a lot around, you know, it's no longer about the IT hardware, software, whatever it is. I mean, that's something that you deliver, but it's actually about what can the old technology do for your business? And if this technology can do more for your business than having to drop a server on premise, then absolutely, I think South Africans will start to see a lot more value around the cloud.
Also, Elaine, one of the things that I personally, being a journalist that works remotely more often than not, what I absolutely love about the cloud is the fact that I have access to my data whenever I need it. I can be in Cape Town, for instance, as I was a couple of weeks ago, and I could still work on documents that I was already using. Is that another benefit that a lot of South Africans maybe don't see, that being on the cloud gives you access to your information wherever you may be, obviously with the correct security protocols in place?
No, absolutely. So, I mean, as a good example, you know, I've got a lovely laptop that my company has issued me to use. And because we actually stick all of our documents into OneDrive for Business, when I go home and I have to work from home, you know, I actually then sync it across different devices. I'm able to work on the same document absolutely anywhere. Another benefit in terms of documents is that I can actually share a document with my team and we can all collaborate at the same time. So there's no longer, you know, that situation where you're that person that gets stuck with putting the document together right at the end and hoping that everything's correct. We can all work in real time on a single document. And I think that is just amazing in terms of productivity and in terms of time saving.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. I actually wanted to mention that next, mm-hmm. is the collaboration aspect of it is really, really great, especially for like with our line of work. Sometimes we'll have a really big story that we are working on, and it allows us to kind of get in and you can see who's made what edits. Everything's tracked. There's no, if somebody goes and does something wrong, there's no chance of their fraud popping up or something like that. It's a really great way of not just collaborating, but also checking certain processes are in place and that sort of thing, correct?
Yeah, I think another benefit in terms of documents, so I'm sure many of your listeners have had the situation where you you type up like a big document, a proposal, a project, whatever it is, and you accidentally delete it or delete half the content and you hit save. And you miss that moment where you get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah.
So cloud actually helps to combat this. And I've had this, and this is a personal experience. I was working on quite an important report for my company, accidentally deleted about 2 weeks of work from my executive team. And I was able to actually just go back into a previous version of the file, restore that, and carry on working as if nothing happened.
That is fantastic. I had a situation last year where my PC completely wiped itself and all my documents were lost. Really big stories that I was working on, reviews, images, everything. And since that day, I've remained on the cloud. Everything is done online because I don't trust my hardware or myself for that matter.
Well, look, it's not just about being online, right? So with services like OneDrive or OneDrive for Business, I mean, essentially it sits like a folder on your desktop. So instead of saving to your My Documents folder, you're saving to your OneDrive folder.
Yeah.
You'll always retain access to your documents in an offline mode. And as soon as you have an internet connection, that document then syncs up to the Microsoft servers so that it then is available in the cloud. So I think that's another misconception that a lot of people have, that they always have to be connected, and that's not always the case. Of course, the connectivity gives you access to the benefits of it.
Yeah.
But you can work on your documents in an offline mode.
That's fantastic. I think a lot of businesses wanted to hear that, because if the power goes out or fiber goes down or internet goes down, it's really nice to be able to know that you're not going to lose productivity and you still get the benefits of the cloud when eventually your internet does come back. So, Elaine, I want to find out, our listeners have now heard all about this. Where can they find out more about the cloud services that Rectron offers, and who should they go and talk to about this? Because I gather you don't want to have 1,000 people phoning Rectron's offices to ask you about cloud services. Where can they find out more about your resellers and the products at hand?
Well, look, if they wanted to get in touch with us, really easy. So my team has a group alias, so it's NBL. At rectron.co.za. And if they reach out to us, they'd be able to then, we'd be able to then actually help to identify the right solution, see who they want to work with in terms of a reseller. And if they don't have a reseller, we'd be able to bring a reputable reseller on board and help out with that.
Fantastic. So, and then can they visit the Rectron website as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, engage with us on our social channels. So, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Elaine. I really appreciate your time. It's been fantastic. It's been an eye-opening experience for me. And hopefully our readers will, or our listeners rather, who read the blog post that the story is attached to, so technically they are readers, will visit your website and embrace the beauty of the cloud.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Brendan.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Elaine. Have a lovely day further.
Okay. Have a good one. You too. Ciao. Bye. Ciao.
Under the Rectron RCT Cloud Stack, businesses will be able to make use of Microsoft's Azure services, Office 365, Palladium accounting software, and Bitdefender security. So don't hesitate. Sign up today at rectron.co.za/signup or contact your reseller for more information.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.